Let's pray as we return to God's Word. Father, we thank you for your Word and your truth that you give us. And Lord, we ask your blessing on this time that we have. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We were going to start that new series this week again. For the second week in a row, I believe the Lord wants me to speak about some other things. We live in a world with a lot of tragic things going on. I talked a little bit about this last week, too. And we have a lot of different people with a lot of different solutions as to how to fix these things. And I'm not going to tell you what to think or anything like that, or what your solution should be, or what your opinion should be, whether it's politically or otherwise. But I would like to bring us back to the Word to give us a framework of where we should start thinking, of how we should start thinking. In anything that we do in life, whether it's in our own personal lives, or whether it's decisions that are made on a grander scale, as Christians, the motivation should always be love, always. And love not in any sort of Hollywood, romance, Hallmark, whatever sense, but in the biblical sense of love, which is strong and tough and compassionate and kind and selfless and all these things rolled together. And I just think about these things as Christians. I don't recall a time when the stuff that's been going on in the last year or so has been happening. I know there have been different times with different things. I know there have been wars, but this seems like a different thing with attacks on a lot of different countries and different continents. And some of you have lived longer than me, lived through world wars, and I understand that. But in my lifetime, this seems unique, and I feel like the Lord wants me to speak to it. And I think about one verse in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says, the only thing that counts is. Now, whenever you see a phrase like that in the Bible, the only thing that counts is, you should really pay attention to what comes next. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That is what counts as Christians. We have faith in God, we have the love of Jesus in us, and that love should be spread back to God and spread to people around us. And, you know, I've been thinking about one example, this issue with the refugees. And I know that it's a hot button, and I know that there are people in this room with different opinions. But I'd just like to speak to that issue a little bit, from a biblical perspective. In terms of people who are in need, who've been displaced, who don't have homes, do you think that the Bible says that we should help people in that condition? Would love dictate that? Yes, yes. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. People need help. We should help people. And I've also thought about the other side of that issue quite a lot, in that some people who've said, well, hold on a second, they're being characterized as being unloving. Well, wait a minute. What about people who want to protect people in our country? Is that loving also? And are those two things mutually exclusive? Loving refugees and loving our own citizens. Sometimes you have to take different tacks and different approaches. And here's one of the things that actually bothers me in our culture and the way that people talk and think, and I'm probably guilty of it too. We all act like experts, and we're not. I do not work for Homeland Security or the State Department or the FBI or the CIA or any part of the military. I don't understand all these issues and how these things happen. I don't really get how this can all happen and how it can all come together. I do leave that up to the experts. But I just think about love being the fuel behind it. And instead of one side saying, well, you're being unloving, and the other side saying, well, you're being unloving, let's talk about this. Because there are two things that I see as being equally loving. If someone comes to my home and needs help, and you can just clearly see that they're in trouble and they need help, I will help them. But if I see a person come to my house who could be dangerous to my wife and children, I still want to help that person. I'm not sure about that person. I may take a different approach, and I will try to help them, but perhaps in a different way. And it takes discernment, and it takes prayer. So protecting your own citizens is loving, and taking care of refugees is loving. And I'm not going to answer the question for you because, again, I'm not an expert, and neither are you. And we need to be praying for our leaders on this issue. And, you know, I've heard other people bring up issues, are we taking care of our own veterans in a proper way? And I would say, I don't know. I've heard some bad stories. I think we should take care of our veterans, our homeless vets, I think about. But none of these are exclusive. We can love a lot of different people and figure out how that happens. You know, when I was, Christy and I, we have a little bit of experience bringing underprivileged people into this country. We adopted two boys from Haiti, two orphans. And the process took us 3 years. And I think about that process. Part of the problem was getting two governments to agree to something is sometimes difficult. But here's what's behind all that decision making. One of the issues is you have to make sure that the two boys are, in fact, orphans and their parents are deceased. So that took a little while. We do have the death certificates. The other issue was making sure that Christy and I are on the level, because you may be aware there's a problem in this world in human trafficking where people are adopting boys and girls and bringing them somewhere and selling them to someone else. And so people came into our home, and we had to go to government offices in Boston, and they had to determine if we were on the up and up. And that's protection. So people were brought into this country. We love those boys. We loved them before they came here. But there was a process in place to protect those boys. And so there's a lot of different facets here that I've just been thinking about a lot. And I just think that we need to treat each other with more respect. I see a lot of posts on Facebook and a lot of snide comments people are making in different directions, and maybe that's not happening in your personal life. I hope it's not. But I thought of one story in the Bible that really got me thinking about things and everything that's going on in the world, and it's the story of Joseph from the Old Testament. And you may remember the story of Joseph. Joseph was one of 12 brothers, and he was the favorite son, and his brothers didn't like that. And so he did what the brothers did is what brothers do. They sold him into slavery. I'm assuming your brothers and sisters didn't do that to you. But that's what they did. They sold him into slavery. And he was taken off and sold in Egypt. And then he was accused of a crime he didn't commit. And then he ended up in a dungeon in a jail. And after a while, he was allowed to get out of that through God's hand. And he ended up second in command in all of Egypt. And then there's a famine in his native land, and his brothers come to get grain from Egypt, and guess who's in charge of the grain? What a coincidence. Joseph. Joseph was in charge of the whole thing. And Joseph fed his brothers. He fed his whole family. He brought his family to Egypt to protect them and care for them. And as I thought about that story, I thought about what happens at the end of Genesis. Their father, Jacob, dies, and the brothers are a little nervous. You know, maybe Joseph just being nice to us because dad's still alive, maybe he's going to take revenge. Because if your brothers sell you into slavery, you might be a little bit bitter about that. And they come to Joseph, and here's what Joseph's response to them is. Joseph said to them, Genesis 50:19, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." So God is at work in that whole thing to protect the people of Israel, who he eventually took out of Egypt and delivered back to the promised land. God was at work in Joseph's life, even when his brothers were doing something evil. So as I think about what's going on in this world today, there are people who are doing evil, but God is still doing good. Isn't that a blessing to think about? God is over all of us and over every situation that's going on. And here's what I would encourage you to think about as you think about this situation that's going on in our world and all the debates that are going back and forth. Before you ask any other question, ask this. What is God doing here? Because here's one thing that's happening with these refugees. They are being delivered to places that have the gospel. And Syria was not an easy country to get into with the gospel. And now they are hearing the gospel in other countries. So people are doing evil things, but God is bringing people to himself through it. So think about that and ask yourself this question. Lord, what do you want me to do in your big plan? How can I be part of your bigger plan? How can I be part of everything you're doing? And I'm challenged myself to get out of myself as an American because as a Christian, here's what we need to remind ourselves of. As Christians, we are Christians first, Americans second. If you're a Christian in France, you're a Christian first, and a Frenchman or Frenchwoman second. You are a citizen of heaven first, and a citizen of the United States second. We belong to the kingdom. And what is God doing in his kingdom? And we have to pray about these things. I'm not giving you an answer to the refugee question. I'm hopefully giving you a framework to think about this world. We are to think as children of the King. And how are we to love people around us? How are we to protect people around us? So I would encourage you to keep praying for your leaders. Keep praying for one another. And as we interact with one another, let's realize that we have valid points that we can talk about. And the snide comments and just... You know, I see on TV, and here's one of the things in our nation that bothers me today, is when I see a politician and I see their name and I see an R or a D after their name, I don't even need to listen because I know what they're going to say. Whether there's an R or I can pretty much predict what's coming next. We're so divided. We're so divided. We got to come back together. And again, I don't have the answers to how to do this. If I did, maybe I'd be in Washington. But as Christians, we need to think as Christians first. We need to pray, and we need to love. And what will come out of that will honor God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again that you've given us this safe country to live in. We thank you for your protection that we've experienced here. We pray for brothers and sisters all over the world who are fleeing, who are in pain. We pray for those regions that are torn up by war. And Lord, we ask your blessing on those people. And Lord, we pray that through all of this, you would be glorified and that people would come to faith and they would know you. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.